statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, given much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
It's simply this. Am I teachable? Am I teachable? Life is all about learning. And the moment you wake up in the morning, there is something new that you learn. And we know that because the world has fallen, it's not the standard that God intended it to be. That we live in a fallen world, we still find that God is working through every situation and there is still always something new to learn. But how much more when the Lord brings us into his family, into his kingdom? How much more then is there to learn? Because in our learning, in its nature, it's redemptive. It's restoring and it's bringing us back to how God intended us to learn. And of course, he's doing this now through Jesus Christ, through the comfort of the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord has sent to us. And I want us to open up on something quite familiar we know. And if we turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 41 onwards, Luke chapter 2 and verse 41 onwards, we see how Jesus, in his young age as a boy, the scholars are amazed at his understanding of Scripture. And we get a glimpse of not only does he understand, but how the Holy Spirit is teaching him. And we see quite clearly that in his young age, he is teachable. How do we know this? Because they are amazed at his understanding of Scripture. And that clearly reveals to us Jesus also had a teachable spirit. He was eager to learn. And let's take this up in verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year by the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the day, they returned. The boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So we're getting a real glimpse here of Jesus with his family, brothers and sisters. They go up to the feast of the Passover, and they're all there, but he lingers behind, and they're not aware of it at first. And then they find that he is missing, and so they go on a journey, on a day's journey, and they go to their relatives and acquaintances. So we see Jesus had relatives and acquaintances, just like we have. And then it goes on, so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after their 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And so when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And we listen at his age of 12. Listen to the answer that he gives. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Wow. There's not many 12-year-olds would say something as profound like that. How was he able to say this? How was he able to astound those teachers of the law? Because he says both, and we get the clue in verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Wish to God more Christians apply that principle. We would then begin to learn. We will begin to learn the Word of God and be taught by the Spirit. And this is why God so often has to work deliverance in us, because our minds are messed up. They've been affected by the world, by wrong upbringing, wrong education, and so on. And we need to have an understanding and revelation of this, that when we come to Christ, the first things we have to learn is we know nothing in this walk, because it's going to be divinely revealed to me. And I'm going to go as far with God when I am willing to learn to keep my mouth shut and listen to the Holy Spirit, read the Word, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach me. And this is why we make such an emphasis about humbling yourself before the presence of Almighty God. It is awesome when you come into His presence and you begin to learn from Him. We dare not speak. We dare not bring our own opinions or whatever it would be, but we do like Jesus did. He both listened to them and he asked them questions. And this is why we ask questions from our Heavenly Father when we don't understand. And that is why we always encourage you to have a notepad and a pen, because there will be things that will come up that we don't fully understand. And the one we go to is our Father, and we ask him these questions. "Lord, I don't understand this fully. Can you speak to me? Can you interpret this to me so that I can understand this?" You know as well as I do, your Heavenly Father will never turn you away when you go before him and you ask to learn from him. How do you think I am able to do what I do because I have asked my Father? I have always gone before him because I don't know. I was never an academic. I wasn't very good at school. I failed everything. And so I had to learn pretty quickly, just like Jesus is doing, because I read this. And when I saw Jesus, he did this. Well, how much more do I need to apply this principle? Because he was the Word made flesh. I'm not the Word made flesh. You're not the Word made flesh. And God has never let me down applying this principle. And that is why I raise this question today. Am I teachable? And that is because our life and walk in Christ is a schooling. It's a training. And that is why we go through the trials and the testings, all of which are a blessing in which to learn this walk, to learn the Word, to learn what our Heavenly Father is saying to us. There are too many Christians in the house of God do not read the signs. They do not read the signs that at times they're making themselves look foolish and stupid. And it doesn't give glory to God. We have to learn that God is jealous over his glory. And we are told to guard our mouths. And when we do speak, we speak by the Spirit and by God blessing. So it edifies, it builds, it encourages the saints in the body of Christ. And the reason it doesn't always do it is because we are going to do it ourselves. I believe this is right. I believe this will edify, and so on. And it doesn't always, because it is self-doing. And what is self? Self is pride. And why we have pride, we are not going to read the signs. And this is why God has to deal with this pride and religious pride in our lives, because God doesn't get the glory. You really, really have to be taught about glorifying God's name. And he will teach you how to do that. When you're a minister of the word, you have to really learn that one, because you do not want to utter or say or do anything that doesn't bring glory to his name. Because bringing glory to his name blesses and teaches and delivers God's people. You need God's glory in which to teach. You need God's glory in which to heal and deliver. It is called the anointing. It is called the unction of the Spirit. And sadly, there are a lot of ministers who place themselves in the pulpit who have little understanding of what the anointing and the unction of the Spirit is, because they have placed themselves there. They are relying on their own intellect and education and understanding of the Word of God, and it doesn't bring glory to God. And this is why you have what you have today. Very few are learning this by the Spirit. This is why you are called for such an office. As I say so often, I didn't find it. It found me. And it's the same in our lives. God is going to work in our lives through weakness where he makes us strong. It's all for his glory. And we have to be taught this. And the first thing God is going to look and expose, am I teachable? Because our Lord clearly revealed here, he was. And if you are teachable, then Proverbs has quite a lot in which to teach us. And let's opening up now. Here we see in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. Much of the beginning of Proverbs is all about whether you are teachable or not. That is what it challenges. That's why I love the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs brings me back to the basics. It brings me back, and it's like it teaches me, it exposes in me, am I listening? Am I teachable? Or am I forming my own opinions? Which is a downward slope when you start to do that. And here it is. We turn to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. We're calling our teaching today, am I teachable? And here it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. There it is. In the introduction of the first chapter, he is challenging us, do we hear? Are we listening? Are we teachable? A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Where does he get that wise counsel? By the Spirit of God. That is God giving you that wise counsel. In other words, opening your eyes and ears and heart to see. What does it say in verse 8? My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. So, of course, it's using mother and father with an infant, with a young person, to learn from them. And it's applying that, which, of course, is the same principle that we use from our Heavenly Father. And then we take it over into chapter 2. And look what it says here in verses 1 to 5, where it speaks about the value of wisdom. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wow. Listen to what it just says there in those five verses. Do we apply that before God? Is that what you want? He says, if you receive my words, you treasure my commands within you. So that is loving the word of God, treasuring it. You incline your ear to wisdom when you hear it. In other words, you are applying faith. You are listening. You are humbling yourself. You open your heart to receive the word. And apply your heart to understanding, because it's the heart that understands. There it is, the parable of the sower. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, what is it meaning by that? You're crying out, you are asking God to discern, to test the spirits. To be able to know that is the heart, the voice of the Holy Spirit, confirming the word of God. And lift up your voice for understanding. What does it mean to lift up your voice? You are asking God with your voice, Lord, give me understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, because that is the importance of it. That is how precious it is. You can't buy this. When you ask God for that understanding, it is so precious, so valuable. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Of course you will. God will never turn anybody away who applies those five verses there. But the question we're raising is today, am I teachable? Let's go on with this. I said to you, there's much in Proverbs with regarding to this, and I think when you start to read Proverbs again, you're going to start to see this in a completely different light. What is it saying, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3? My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Of course, they're going to add to your life. And you will live to a great old age. Why? Because you're learning about God. And in this life, you need to live to a good age in which to learn. Because it takes time. That's why. So if you want to live to a good old age, until the Lord comes for us, and he's coming for us, you're living to a good old age and keeping well and fit because you are learning his commands. And to learn the word of God takes time. So can you see that? Why he lengthens our days. Praise God for that. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. So in other words, God does spiritual tattooing. He writes it into us. Let mercy and truth not forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Tie it around, just like a scarf. Write them on the tablets of your heart, inscribing. And he does that, spiritually speaking, so that you don't forget. Then it goes on in chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. So he says here, give attention. In other words, I want your attention, your full attention. I want your mind completely on this. This is what it means to no understanding. You need to understand, and to understand, God wants your full attention. We're distracted too often. And that is the problem. And that is why I say, when you come to these meetings, come prayed up. Have time with the Lord so your heart, mind, spirit is ready to receive this engrafted word. It is that important if you want to grow. We have too many hindrances getting in the way for our spiritual growth, and we wonder why things happen like they do. How about chapter 5, verses 1 to 2? My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding. So he's now speaking about how we hear. Lend it to me. In other words, give your hearing over to me. It wouldn't be wrong to say, Father, I commit to you my hearing. into your hands. Work with my hearing that I can hear your word, that engrafted word that gives me faith. Have ever you thought about giving your hearing over to the Lord? I don't think you ever have. There you go. There's another promise revealed to us. How about chapter 6, verse 20? My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now here it is again, but we can bring that over to the spiritual. My son, keep your father's command. That is what pleases his heart. And he'll work that if you want to please your father's heart. That's how you please him. And then finally, in Proverbs, and I'm just picking out at random things here. It's filled with learning and understanding, all of it. But look what it says in chapter 7 and verses 1 to 3. Here it is again. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Treasure them. In other words, this word is priceless. You cannot buy this. The most wealthiest person in the world cannot buy this. It is the greatest treasure God gives to us, is his word. And he says, keep it as that treasure. Keep my commands and live. That's how you live. That is how you're blessed. That is how you overcome. That is how you have long life. He says, keep it. Don't let the enemy snatch it away. The parable of the sower. And my law as the apple of your eye. Because your eye gate is important. What you see, what you look at. You need eyesight in which to read God's word. It's the apple of your eye. It's your source of learning as well as your hearing, you see. So there's just a few scriptures for you to think and consider about what Proverbs opens up with. I'm sure some of you have never really understood that like this, and I'm learning all the time. I can only impart to you what the Holy Spirit reveals to me. And I'm amazed every time I open these things up. There's so much more to learn, to understand, to go deeper with the Lord. But it comes by being teachable. Always important, this is. You see, Jesus revealed that a teachable heart or spirit brings comfort and its rest to the soul. Some of us don't have that rest and peace to the soul because we're not applying the word as we should. What does it say in Matthew 11, 28, which we know so well? But bearing in mind what we've looked up in Proverbs, we can understand this a bit more in 28 and 29 of Matthew 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, come to me, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am your teacher. You will never have a greater teacher in the universe than Almighty God himself. His teaching is not burdensome. His teaching will give you length of life, will bless you, give peace to your mind and spirit. You won't be caught up with all the anxiety and fear and confusion and frustration in life. This is your deliverance, saints. And we really have got to understand this one. You see, the Holy Spirit is to teach us that we are to be humble before him and learn. Because, as I said, he is our greatest teacher. And he cannot teach you when there is pride. Why? Because two cannot sit on a throne. There's only one who can sit on the throne. It's either you or it is God. And you've got to remove your throne. And you will become teachable. What does it say in 1 John 2 verse 27? 1 John 2 and verse 27. But the anointing which you have received, not me. Yes, I do believe by faith God has anointed me. And that's why I value your prayers for this word, for this ministry, that it will feed you. But it says the anointing which you have also received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as he has taught you, you will abide in him. That's why I always keep saying the word that I preach to you is simply a confirmation to the anointing you have received. Now, are you going to let that anointing that you have received by the Spirit, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, are you going to be teachable and let him teach you by that which he has given you? Or are you hindering that anointing in your life because of unbelief and disobedience and so on? You see, he will do it. Remember, you are a royal priesthood. You are set apart for a service. You have been set apart to be recipients of the revelation of God. You are doing what Israel failed to do, to be sons, to teach the nations the way of the Lord. She failed her sonship because she was rebellious, stiff-necked. In other words, she wasn't teachable. You now are fulfilling what Israel failed. Don't fail. Israel's failure is a warning to us. The Apostle Paul makes it absolutely clear. You read Romans 11. We are to be taught by the Spirit in which to proclaim the kingdom of God and what pertains to the kingdom. And he set you apart as saints, as a royal priesthood now, in which to receive teaching from your heavenly Father. And that is why he has given you a love for his word. Not all Christians have a love for God's word as they should. Why do you have a love for God's word? Because you are getting it direct from heaven. That's why. And that is the difference. It is God who's teaching you. He's illuminating your mind to the revelation of this word. And I'm simply just a vessel to confirm it to you. That is why we must be teachable. We must have a teachable spirit. And it comes by asking. And we don't get because we too often are asking for the wrong things. What does it say in Psalm 25? Psalm 25 verses 4 to 5. Psalm 25 verses 4 to 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Isn't that a wonderful few verses there? Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Because we have to walk in this life and we must choose the right path. Remember, I spoke a few weeks ago about Lot and Abraham, how they parted. Lot chose the wrong path. Abraham chose the right path because he was a man who was teachable, hearing from God. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Who doesn't want the truth? I want the truth. You want the truth. Because we know that the truth sets us free. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. That's why I say our whole life and walk is a waiting on God. Because that is how he teaches us. How can he teach you if you're busy, busy, busy all the time? You can't. But there is a waiting spiritually also in the heart. It also comes by our faith in that rest that Hebrews 4 speaks about. That enables us to be able to wait and rest on the Lord. And a lot of that resting, I might add, comes when you stop asking why, when, how, or whatever, but just receiving and believing that God will work it out in his own right time and way. That is also part of your rest. How can you rest when you're asking and questioning? You can't, because you're all the while trying yourself to find the answer, and you never will. Our answer only lies in Jesus Christ. And he will give us the answers at that right time and way. And that is why he says, you wait all day on him. You're in that attitude of waiting, resting, walking by faith, allowing the Spirit any time, any day, any moment to teach you and to show you his ways. And he will. That's what it means by walking in the Spirit. And not in the flesh. The difference between Romans 7 and Romans 8. There are times it seems as though one never learns. And you simply just stay with it. There are times I feel I'm not learning. I'm not getting this as I should. There seems like a blockage somewhere. I've gone through those experiences, but I know what the scriptures tell me to do. Just keep coming, keep listening, stay with it, and in time, you will get the answer. You will break through. You see? And it does. It always does. And we also have to remember that God often uses man to man in which to teach us. It's like that iron sharpening iron. And he uses sometimes, and it brings somebody along your path who you can't get on with, who just rubs you up the wrong way. But God has made no mistake. That person is teaching you, and you've got to be teachable and humble to listen. It's quite difficult when someone who rubs you up all the wrong way, but you learn God has brought them along your path and he's brought them and placed them there because he's going to teach you something. That is where you have to humble yourself, and it's not easy. But you stay with it, and boy, you will learn something in time. So valuable. I'm reminded of the prodigal son. He didn't want to learn. He was going to do it his own way. But what happens? His father doesn't give up on him, prays, believes, and he comes back with his tail between his legs. And the father rejoices and gets out the fatted calf. My son has returned. He's learned some lessons. And he's only too pleased now to do it God's way. That principle runs often in our lives, if you did but know. And those who do go back don't want to learn anymore because they become offended. And that's why the disciples, those in John 6, turned back and went back. They became offended by what Jesus said. In other words, they didn't want to learn anymore. Fatal. You're signing your own death warrant when you do that. We often want to choose our teachers, but God works differently. God will get you to sit under a teacher, a minister, whom you would have nothing in common with, be it in the world. But that is where God has brought you. And I praise God that he brought me under the Deeper Life teaching. No, I may not always liked the teacher, may have found it difficult what he said, but I knew that was where God would teach me, by the Spirit. And who was I to argue with that? God doesn't make a mistake. That is why I stayed with the Deeper Life teaching. I stayed with Brother Freeman. I stayed with Faith Assembly, even though there were things not going right. Because I knew nothing is perfect. It can only be made perfect by the grace and mercy of God. I stayed with it for this one principle. God doesn't make a mistake. My Father loves me, and he's not going to give second best. He's not going to give anything that will harm me or destroy me. I settled that one with God because I was understanding his character, his nature, his mercy. And in time, the fruit begins to bear. You then begin to see how God worked through that situation. And God allowed Faith Assembly to be like it was, and he allowed it to close so that a remnant could scatter and go to the four corners of the earth to continue to take that which they heard. That is how God works. So it wasn't all a disaster, as you read in the internet, on the internet. Far from it. God had a plan and a purpose. He was restoring the Deeper Life and the Spirit. He was revealing the man-child that God was going to reveal in the last days to release and set free groaning creation. The overcomers. Nobody else was preaching and teaching that. Nobody preaches or teaches it today. They don't understand it. They don't see it. Do you know why? Because it's hid, as Revelation 12 tells us. You are going to reveal it. You are the ones that God is going to reveal as an example of releasing groaning creation. And it is done on the principle of learning, being teachable, and not questioning or arguing with God, but knowing our Heavenly Father loves us, and he's not going to hurt us or destroy us or cause confusion in our lives. He doesn't work that way. He is perfect in every way and form and in his dealings. And he gives you a revelation of that so that you can anchor your life on that. I know the devil doesn't like it and he tries to throw the spanner in the works. Well, God doesn't love you. If he loved you, he wouldn't allow you to be going through this trial. Oh, how often have we heard that one? But you see, we get used to the enemy after a time. In actual fact, I take it as a good sign when the enemy attacks, because that's a clear sign he didn't like what God is about to do. So he gives himself away every time. But it comes, brothers and sisters, when we are teachable. And we are on the brink of a transformation, for God is soon to bring in his kingdom to rule on the earth. And before that is established, he's going to reveal the sons of God who have remained faithful to the word and who will set in motion, Romans 8, the release of groaning creation, because the creation is most certainly groaning, utterly confused, messed up. Nobody knows what they're doing, cannot discern their left hand to their right hand. You cannot trust in any of it. The only thing we can trust is in God's word that he is teaching us, that will sustain and keep us until the Lord comes for us. And I don't think we're far away from that. But if we try it in our own strength, in our pride, we will always choose the opposite to God. Trust me. We'll always choose the opposite to God. We'll always go to those that appeal to us. And the enemy has made sure he's planted many in professing Christendom. He's planted many false teachers and prophets, that Christians who call themselves Christians, but in their pride, he gets them to sit under that heresy that is robbing them of their faith and teaching and trust in the Lord. This is why so few teachers are really teaching faith as the Bible reveals faith. Many don't teach it. And why don't they teach it? Because it's easier to work for the Lord than to walk by faith and trust him. And that is our big problem we have in Christendom. Many, many working, many busy, many doing God's work, or they think they do, but very few actually willing to walk totally by faith and trust in God and his word. That is what sorts out the men from the boys. And when you start to walk by faith with God, the first thing he's going to start to deal with in your life is this busyness trying to work for him. He's going to deal with that. He's going to break it all up, the fallow ground, and he's going to teach you that he does the works through you, not you, not by might, not by power, by his spirit, says the Lord. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one that will do it in and through us. It can't be achieved otherwise, because man is too weak and feeble. There is only one who can do it, who overcame the world. He said, it's done, it's finished. I now can take over lives that are chosen in Christ, and I will continue my work and ministry through them as I teach them and as they learn to yield over to the Spirit. That is how he's going to do it, brothers and sisters. And it's going to come on the basis of, am I teachable?
In our hearts, in our hearts, Jesus. be of God and not of us. For God who commanded the light to shine, as the darkness has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God.